Hi guys, and welcome back to the Noir Girl Experience. I'm Zaria.
And I'm Aziza.
And we have a special guest today. We have Tia with us.
Hi.
Hey Tia.
So just a little housekeeping stuff. Make sure you guys rate and review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. Also make sure you continue to sign petitions and all that good stuff relating to Black Lives Matter. We have the links in our link tree still, so all you gotta do is click it. Yeah, should we just get straight into it? Or
yes, let's get straight into it.
Okay, so the topic we're talking about today is what a lot of people call struggle love, and why is it that Black women are typically forced to adapt this mindset that love and romantic relationships equals having to go through hardships or, you know, holding your man down? So the first question we have is, where does this notion come from? Because I think for a lot of us, we've seen this like generations back. Like, this isn't like a new concept for Black women, right?
Mm-hmm.
So where do you guys think it comes from? Do you think it comes from like our ancestors, slavery? Like, where does it come from?
I don't think it goes back that far. I think it is a culmination of the fact that in the past, people were told that they couldn't get divorced. You know, that wasn't necessarily just for Black people. That was for everyone. Mm-hmm. And then on top of just a lot of things that Black people dealt with, like, as you know, like the crack era, different things where we as a collective were pretty fucked up. Like, everybody was experiencing some sort of like effect from either drugs or the criminal system. And I think it just all stems from there. I wouldn't go so far as to say this is from back in the slavery days, but I don't know. What do you think, Tia?
I don't know. I feel like it could be a little bit of both. Like, it's a generational thing just based off of what you might see with your parents or your family members. Because not everybody has, like, parents that are together now. But for most people who do, like, a lot of times they've experienced some type of hardship. Or you have an aunt or an uncle who might still be together that, you know, they've been through some stuff. Like, that real, real stuff.
But that's what I'm saying. When you think about that, like, their generation is pretty much Max from like the 60s.
Yeah, but it could be a slavery thing too, because think about it, just as a Black culture, we've had to really put up some strength in our bodies and endure a lot, and you know, to get through all of that and overcome so much. Even today, like, you still gotta bite your tongue about certain things, because as a Black woman in corporate America, we cannot say or do the things that they want the stereotype to be. They think we're gonna act crazy and be crazy, but you know, instead, we just bite our tongue when little Harry at work says, "Oh, can I touch your hair? It's so nice." Or if they say something crazy, like, "Okay, I just slap."
So you feel like we internalize a lot of those different things that we have to deal with as Black women, and so because of that, we, you know, give a little bit of slack to our Black men.
Yeah, because it's like as a whole, like, we're just taught to kind of endure and keep it pushing. So, you know, it's not like we get a free pass to cuss somebody out and we get to stay at our job. Because if we do it and Kim does it, Kim's going to keep her job. And guess what? We out the door. And no matter who we are.
Yeah.
If they see you acting the crazy Black woman stereotype,
you know,
it's a dub for you. Goodbye.
Seriously. That's even a whole nother topic in itself. But what do you think, Zaria? I just don't know if it really stems so, because I don't really know what was like. I can't imagine like some of the things that we're dealing with now from Black men. Like, I don't know how deep it was like in 1910. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I think a lot of it, for me and stuff I've seen, like research I've done, a lot of Black women attributed to like Black men having to go out, and even like to go back to like segregation times, right? So like the black husband would have to go out and work, and he would have to take in all these abuse in the workplace, abuse from random white people on the street. Mm-hmm. He comes home, he doesn't know how to channel that, so he's taking it out on his black wife, you know. Mm-hmm. And as a black woman, you kind of, we've internalized all that stuff because it's like, generationally, I guess that is what we were taught to do. I can't be mad at my husband for how he's treating me. He's only taking this out on me because of what's being done to him out in the world, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but where do you feel like was the shift? Because I think, and I could be wrong, but I think that we were more of an ally to our black husband, like in way, way back. Like they looked at us as a way to help or a way to just like get through mm-hmm. what they were dealing with. Versus in that theory, it's like, I'm taking it out on you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I wrote down like the restructuring of black households because, I have, and I think we've learned about this too, like there's a certain point where fathers weren't as prominent in the black household. Yeah. And I think it is kind of tricky as to when that happened. I know for me personally and like my life and what I've seen, a lot of it had to do with like drugs and whether they were dealing drugs or they were doing the drugs. So around maybe 70s, 80s, around that time. But that's for me personally, but I know for everybody it could be different. So. It could
be. Yeah. But that's why I think it more so shifted in this last generation, like our parents and like towards the end of our grandparents' generation, just because with the adding of the drugs and all these other different like negative things, it just became a little too much and mindset started to shift.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do you guys feel like your friends ever, not just our friends, but like friends as in like peers in the black community, have they also like made this thing go on longer? Like,
child.
Black women looking at their friends and saying, you know, my friend does this and this and this is the norm. Like, do you think that's a factor?
I definitely think that's a factor. I mean, you can't help but kind of use the situations around you as inspiration to like what you feel like you should do next in your own situation. And I think it's the same way that we say how we have been kind of affected by how we grew up and what we saw. Mm-hmm. Our friends are a big part of our lives. And mm-hmm. so seeing our friends make certain decisions can definitely, most certainly, alter how we feel and make us think, you know, maybe I should put in a little bit of extra work or a little bit of, show a little bit more strength in the situation because my friend was able to do it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Because I know me. I don't know. I tend to look at my friends' situations, but I also kind of just think based off of, like, you know, your own personal stuff. Like, you know, is it really worth throwing something away? Or should, you know, put in the effort and work to make things work if you really want them type of thing? Because, you know, I have a bad habit myself, you know, just of kind of throwing stuff in the trash when people start getting on my nerves or annoying me. But it's like when I find something I like, you know, I kind of want to just keep it and make it work.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes, you know, you just deal with a lot to make it work. But, you know, I just feel like it's worth it versus me dealing with somebody I know I don't care about and just saying, you know, I'm going to just do it because I know they're good for me. But it's like if I'm not happy, I'm not happy. So
have you ever been influenced by like your friends or anyone to tell you that you give up too easily, and then that's something that you think about?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Because when I, you know, like, I'm still young, obviously, but when I've had, like, situations with people...
Let the people know how old you are before you...
Oh, yeah.
I'm 22.
Okay.
Mercury in December, Sagittarius season. But anyway, you know, I don't know. Since I've, like, been in this whole dating atmosphere type of thing, because it kind of started in high school, you know, because that's when everybody get their first little boyfriend or girlfriend. And, you know, I was happy with my situation, and then, you know, things just don't work out, and I just kind of let it go. I mean, you still feel some type of way, but, you know, I didn't really put in effort to make it work. And now that I'm in this whole adult age, I feel like, you know, I have to make it work because I want to see that, you know, that end goal that I'm hoping for. And if I'm happy with the person I'm with, I'm willing to put in the effort to do it. Sometimes it's a lot more effort than I want, but, you know, that's just how it is sometimes when you love somebody. I don't know.
What about, do you guys think media? Because I know, Aziza, you sent me a really, really good article in Blavity. And do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so I came across the article just noting how Black women, like, we can't ever be good. Like, we don't want to be with a cheating man. They scold us. They say, why you can't forgive? Why you can't let it go? It's just a little bit of cheating. He loved you. You know, everybody chalks it up to, oh, that's just what a man does. But then when you are okay with, you know, just being with somebody, it's like, oh, why you want to be with that man? He's a cheater. You don't respect yourself. Mm-hmm. You don't love yourself. And it's like, it's just always a catch-22, especially we've seen this with a lot of celebrities, and that's what the article really breaks down. It's like, why did Ciara have to get so much flack for finding a man who actually valued her, loved her, and loved her son enough to want to showcase that to the world despite the man that she had the child with? Why did she have to get that much flack for finding love, and a healthy love at that? Mm-hmm. It was like people wanted her to be with Future. People wanted to push the idea of her failure with Future on her. It's like, you don't deserve to find this. You were supposed to have this, and you were supposed to deal with the unhappiness that is your relationship with Future.
Yeah.
Or the people that were upset with Cardi for leaving Offset for the period of time that she did because of his cheating. His public embarrassment and cheating. People were literally upset, in arms, begging her on Twitter to take him back. Why?
Mm-hmm. It's damned if you do, damned if you don't, honestly.
And granted, she ended up taking him back, but that should be on her own terms, making her own decision. It shouldn't be us feeling like she needs to do something. It's like, when someone deals with something, especially cheating, we have to leave it up to the person to decide what they can take and what they can't take. Mm-hmm. But for Black women, I feel like we get an unfair interpretation of what we should be doing. Like, I don't think it's fair that we always have to take a cheating man back.
Oh, say it again, girl.
We don't have to if we don't want to. Period. And I think it's just an unfair thought. And it's like, as if we're just so used to that as a Black community, that we're so used to trauma. It's like, oh, well, what are you complaining about?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and it's so crazy, Z, because let a female do what half of these men do out here. It is like...
And they're gone.
She's dragged.
She a hoe.
And the man is leaving in 2.5.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. No doubts about it. No turning back. No passing go. No collecting 200. They out that dough. I just don't get it. It's just after one time, too.
Grace at all. And it's odd, too, because if you think about it, it's not just, like, in pop culture. It's also in our movies, our TV, like, everything. Like, you can't watch even reality shows. Like, why is it that the most viewed television shows are, like, drama? Black women being cheated on, Black women, you know, like, and
we had this conversation too, because remember how we were talking about, why does all of Tyler Perry content have to just be
trauma
about sadness for the Black woman? And at first I tried to argue back. I'm like, but no, some of them have happy endings, but especially with his new shows, it's very much like black men dealing with nonsense.
Somebody is going to be on crack. Somebody's getting cheated on. Somebody had a baby.
Somebody's married.
Right? It's too much.
Well, a lot of his stories, he says he takes from like firsthand accounts of from black women's experiences, like from letters he'll get from fans and stuff. So sometimes it is just like real out there, but it's like real world experiences that he's writing about and putting into movies, because I guess he's just trying to portray what black women really go through. Like, yeah, it might seem good for Sierra, but for the rest of the black female population, it ain't like that.
I get that, but it's also like, at what point does that end? Like, don't we want to see some like positive like relationships, like normal like this whole black love thing became a trend, but it's like, okay, where is it in our film, in our TV? Like, it ain't nowhere to be found. Like, it's drama.
That's why I liked Black as Fuck so much, like on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Even though people drag that show, I loved it because I thought it portrayed a normal black family, you know, with kids and just like dealing with normal marriage. It wasn't nobody that was like on drugs. It wasn't anything crazy. And they were rich, and I just thought it was like a good representation of a black family, something that we haven't had in a long time. Mm-hmm. But you know, that show got trashed.
Are they coming back or what? Huh? Is it coming back?
Yeah, they got approved for season two.
Woohoo!
That's good. I'm happy about that. Even though I don't watch it, but still.
I liked that show. It was good to me.
I liked it too.
Yeah, I don't know. But do you guys... Okay, so I guess now... Tia, you kind of briefly touched on your own personal experience, but I want us to talk about our personal experiences with struggle love and how we've seen it affect those closest to us. So, like, friends, our family. Who want to go first?
Go on, Z. Our guests should go first. I know you got something to say, Z. Go ahead.
No, I think our guests should go first. We always let our guests go first.
Tia, give them, like, a good, like, roundabout understanding.
Ooh, struggle black love. So Z, you know, she know firsthand what I be dealing with. But so I have, you know, a boyfriend, and you know, we've been staying together since quarantine started because I moved in, and it's like the first time I've ever lived with somebody, and we've been dealing with each other for a year and a half now, and it's been a rocky road for sure, because like, you know, we've been good sometimes, but he has a bad habit of like cheating on all of his girlfriends. He's cheated on every single girlfriend he's been with, including me. Just not physically, but you know, the texting stuff, the emotional stuff is still cheating in my eyes, so it doesn't matter. But it's like, even though he does all that stuff, it's like, as much as you know, Z might tell me to leave or somebody else, is like, I don't know, I still care to a certain extent. I still feel like it's worth putting an effort for and fighting for. And it's annoying, but, you know, even when I went to go visit her, oh Lord, it was a whole wreck. It was a show.
Yeah, she came all the way to visit me and was, a complete mess.
Yeah, we were having problems before I left, so I decided to get some space. And I went to New York just, you know, get some space away. And he taking pictures with sis, touching her ass. Sis messaging me on Instagram telling me, yeah, I was at y'all house. He came to my house. All types of just crazy.
Wait, so while you were out of town.
Yes.
Okay, let's make it clear. Tia lives in the South. I don't know if you want to specify where.
I live in ATL, baby.
She live in ATL. And she came up to New York. And while in New York, all of this was happening. You wasn't even home.
Yeah, I was, mind you, I wasn't gone for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. I left on a Wednesday and I came back on Saturday. And mind you, within that time frame, I'm getting messages from females. I'm getting pictures.
3 days.
I'm getting calls from females disrespecting me as soon as I get home. And, you know, I'm not the type of person to be trying to fight the whole planet. But when girls try me, like, and you talking to me crazy about my man, I'm gonna cuss him out and you, because first of all, you shouldn't be calling me, talking to me at all, and second of all, why should any female feel inclined enough to be contacting my phone telling me about you? Like, that's a huge no-no for me. And it's like, it's not the first time he's done something stupid like that, but it's never been that severe. Like, I've never had no female go out their way to reach out and tell me, you know, here's your man touching my ass and sent me the picture and then sending me all the messages. And so, you know, it was like the ultimate level of disrespect, even just knowing she was in our home that we shared together that he asked me to move into. So it's like, it was just a lot. And as much as of a hardship as it has been just dealing with that and just a lot of other, you know, accommodation I feel like I've had to have to kind of, you know, make things work. At the end of the day, for some crazy ass reason, I still feel like I want to like put in the effort to make it work. And given, like, you know, there's been changes over the past couple weeks and trying to build that trust up, but it's like, you know, that trust is still so far gone out the window. I'm just trying to hope it comes back. So, you know, I'm giving it time and commitment. But at the end of the day, you know, when stuff like that happens, that's always going to be on the back of your mind. Like, what if the next person contacts me tomorrow? What if somebody's contacting me on Instagram? Like, I hate having to worry about stuff like that. But it's like, I feel like I got to turn into the FBI over here.
And we've had, like, we've had that conversation where you've said, you know, every relationship goes through things. Mm-hmm. And so I don't feel like it's my time to go yet. Yeah. You know, so it's like, how did you come to that realization that, you know, sometimes you have to go through even crazy stuff like this when you really, you know, care about somebody?
It's, I don't know, it's weird because it's like the whole family dynamic. Like, since we've been together, I've grown so close with his parents. I hang out with his mom damn near every weekend. We be watching Lifetime movies. He has a daughter. I've never messed with anybody or dated anybody that's had a kid. So having a child involved and being involved in that child's life, and the kid is calling and talking on the phone to you, and I've developed a relationship with the baby mama, it's like, you know, I have to think about all these different factors that I would have to be throwing out the window, essentially, if I choose to break up with him. And it's like, that's not my kid, but it feels like it's my kid because I've been around her so much. That's not my family, but I've been spending so much time with them. They know damn near everything about me, and vice versa. It's like, on top of that, aside from like all the bullshit, we've still had great times together. You know, we've had nice trips. We've had good days. We talk about things. We have good times together. And it's like, I've never had that type of vibe with somebody where I can, you know, smoke hookah or drink all night if I want to and not have to worry about somebody clocking me about, oh, you got to be at work in the morning. Like, you know, I should have that, but regardless, like, you know, if
I'm meaning you just up, you like the fact that he's not judgmental, he accepts.
Yeah, like too. I can turn up, I can do whatever, we can go to the club all night. Like, I like to have fun. So the fact that I got somebody who likes to have fun with me, or like if I want to stay home and watch a sermon, he'll watch the sermon with me. Like, it's just a lot of different things that we can do together that mesh well. And then the family thing, and then his daughter is just like the biggest piece of it for me because I've just grown so close to her. I mean, the girl spends near all her time with me when she's here, so it's like, that's damn near become my child. So it's hard to just think about, okay, well, I could just leave because he's been fucking up. But it's like, I got all these different factors. It's like, why? You know, I still love the kid. Like, she's my own. I love his family. I love him. You know, it's just seemed worth it to me. So,
have you ever thought about what do you think your breaking point would be?
Honestly, like, he's cheated in your more emotional, like, texting wise and hanging out with people. But the fact that I know he hasn't fucked anybody has kind of made me feel a little bit more peace of mind. But once it gets to the point where, like, I feel like he's been physically involved with somebody, or, like, I feel like there's been somebody that's kind of broken our connection a little bit and kind of entered into that little piece that I'm a part of for him, that's the time where I'll be like, okay, you know, I love him to death, but the fact that somebody else can kind of hinder our relationship or kind of break into our connection like that, just for some sex or whatever type of physical or emotional connection they have, it's like, at that point, I've given all I can. It's time for me to go. Like, if I can't hold at least that part of you, the part that we've, you know, developed such a fond love for each other, and somebody's able to break into that and build some type of love with you on the side, it's like, at that point, I have nothing else to give. There's nothing else I can do. It's been broken, so.
But overall, you do see yourself, like, you see a future with him, and that's why you are working so hard.
Yeah. As much as I hate to say it sometimes, like, yeah, like, aside from all the bullshit and stuff, I could see myself getting married to him. I could see myself building a future with him. Like, you know, we just talked about all these different goals we have together and his level of ambition and my level of ambition. Like, I just feel like all those different factors match up so well. And, you know, there's hard times that we go through, but it's like at the end of the day, you know, it's like I make my list of my pros and my cons, and my pros still outweigh my cons. So it's like, mm-hmm. I might as well just stick it out. That's what's been working for me. And I've been happy still. As much as I've been going through stuff with him, I've still been finding something about him that makes me happy, so that it makes me feel like I'm willing to stay and keep working on it. But it's like, once I get to that point where there's just like no more balance, or there's no more good outweighing the bad, it's time to go. It's gonna suck, but that's what happens, you know.
So how do you think that, one, how do you think your relationship compares to the relationship of your friends, so like other Black women or Black men around you, one, and then two, how do you think, if at all, how has your trials and tribulations in your relationship affected your friends?
I would definitely say that my friends are not a fan of my relationship, not more so because they don't like me happy with him, but it's just more so how he's treated me over time, and they're not a fan of that just because they've seen me very sad before. They see me very distressed. They've seen, like, you know,
we've seen how it affected you.
Yes, y'all have just basically seen, like, how it's affected me overall, and they are not a fan of that, given, you know, I'm always somebody that's in high spirits. I'm always very happy. I'm always, you know, trying to turn up and look for a good time type of thing, and it's like when I'm calling them crying or something, they're like, well, what the hell is this man doing? Like, you need to cut him off. So it's definitely, I wouldn't say it's changed my relationship with my friends, but I know it's definitely changed their opinions on him and just wanting to be around somebody like that, knowing he treats me that way. And I don't know, I think it's just gonna take time, honestly, just to see like what changes he really makes, because it's been so much consistent shit as of lately. But it's like, I stay with him now. It's not like you can just get up and move. Like, yes, I can go to my parents' house, but for me, it's a pride thing. I always told my parents I was never moving back after I graduated, and that's like the one thing I've always wanted to stay true to. And then just more so the fact, like, you know, your parents are always going to be like, well, I told you, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think that's something you should do, but you make that decision because you're grown. So if I'm telling them, okay, well, he's doing all this stuff, so I got to go, it's like, well, we told you shouldn't have been doing that. I'm like, yeah, I know, but I had to try it myself, and now I look stupid. So it's a lot of different stuff. But, I mean, at the end of the day, as much as they don't support it from time to time, they have their different opinions. They've been very supportive as far as just supporting what I want. So, and if I want to stay with that and try to make it work, you know, they're still there behind me. But, you know, I'm not... Like, at the end of the day, it's going to be on me if I look stupid in the end, or if I keep forgiving and shit just doesn't work out. It'll be on me, but at least I know my friends will be there regardless of if it's fucked up or if it's good, so.
Yeah. And side note, me and Tia are friends. I don't think I ever said that in the beginning.
Yeah. Okay, and this is another question that I had. So do you feel like, compared to the other relationships that friends in your friend group may have, do you think your relationship stands out, or have you seen similarities?
My relationship is definitely a standout one, more so just on the whole fact that he like cheats, well, not cheats regularly, I would just say he has a problem with talking to people when he's not supposed to, or saying things he shouldn't be saying to other women, because he's not physically doing anything. I know for a fact, because I be doing my FBI investigations, but in general, like,
I just want y'all to understand how much Tia really does her research. She knows every single thing, every detail, and if she don't know, she gonna find it. Like, she don't play about that research. But I'm sorry, I had to let people know, Tia do not play. That is our investigator.
That's for me. I'm telling you, if I need to get the full scoop, I will call the source itself. I will ask the friends. I will do my white pages research, whatever I got to do to get your information and get that tea, I will get it. But, you know, that's like...
Get that full report.
Yeah, I get that full report. That's the biggest difference because a lot of my friends, like... So, I have friends in our friend group who have had experiences with people physically cheating and they've caught them and it's been very traumatic for them. But I guess for me, since I know there hasn't been any physical type of thing like that, and I know he's not stupid because I find out everything. So, if he really wanted to try it, he could, but I will be right there at her door. So, I feel like he just knows what level to push it to and which level to kind of, you know, float his role a little bit. Because he definitely has not tried the whole doing nothing crazy. But, I mean, it still doesn't make it okay. But I guess just as far as, like, our other friends' relationship goes, like, you know, one of my friends found out, you know, her man was cheating and, like, fucking other people and doing stuff. And I saw how that was. And then, you know, we got other friends going through 10 times worse than what I'm dealing with right now. So, you know, it's just different dynamics to it. But it's just a matter of, like, how much y'all care and what y'all have together, like, behind closed doors, aside from what the people see. So, I definitely think that just changes it a little bit, but.
Okay.
Yeah, and I've also learned through just helping, like, for example, helping or speaking to Tia about her situation, as much as I want to put what I think on her, it has really taught me that, you know, the best way to be a friend is just to be there for them because they're going to do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing that I could say, you could say, nobody could say besides God to get her to do something that she don't want to do. And at the end of the day, we want what's best for them, right? But we want them to be happy in their own lives. And so I have just learned that I can't keep putting my negative thinking on her when it's her relationship. Mm-hmm. I will tell you the truth. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. And I'm going to tell you that this don't seem right. You know, like I'm going to always be expressive about that. But mm-hmm. I've just learned, like, don't expect anything.
Mm-hmm.
You have to let everyone do for themselves because at the end of the day, it's their life. And you just have to be there for support. Because I just think, and I always wanted to ask you, like, did you feel like that was me back then as far as, like, because I know there's been a lot of times where I've dealt with stuff and you have told me repeatedly to stop doing something and I surely never.
Well, do you want to get into your experience and then I could, like, chime in?
Yeah, I think that with me, I just have an issue in general with letting people go.
Mm-hmm.
And it stems back to just shit from my childhood. But once I cross a certain line with a guy, and it's not about sex, it's just more so about the emotion. What maybe it's the stuff that I tell you about me. Maybe it's just how vulnerable I get with you, how open I get with you. But once I cross that certain line, it is very hard for me to let that person go, honestly, regardless of a lot of the stuff that you can think of a man could do, like, or act like. There have been a lot of times where I've forgiven shit, stayed messing with the guy, even if it didn't even mean, like, a relationship. Sometimes it was just about being close to the guy.
Mm-hmm. And why is that, though? Do you think... Like you said, some of it does stem from your childhood, right? But do you feel like you also have that sense of, like, you don't want to give up too easy?
No, I don't think it's that. I think it's more of a selfish thing. It's more of me just being dependent on somebody to fulfill something in me, whether it's just feeling, just having somebody there to talk to, or just having that idea of a relationship, or like they're fulfilling something within me.
Mm-hmm.
It differs between guys, but I can't say it's about, oh, I just don't want to give up. It's more so I just don't want to let something go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not, it's, and that's something that I've been trying to work on, because I just think it's a selfish thing on my part, because it's more focused on, like, what they're doing for me versus how we both can contribute to the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that's where I differ in a little bit. But at the same time, there have been plenty of situations where I have not stopped messing with a guy that did something that was disrespectful, not stopped being with a man that was doing fucked up shit.
Yeah.
And I try to relate that to when I deal with my friends too. So I think that's going back to your question of, like, how does your situation, or do you feel like it's influenced by your friends? I definitely try to use my past experiences when giving my friends advice.
Mm-hmm.
Because it helps put myself in their shoes too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could say for you, I definitely feel like the things you've been through, I don't think it stems from a place of feeling obligated to a Black man or whatever the fuck. Like, yeah, I don't know. It comes from that. And you make it very clear that if there was a time when you were in a relationship, whether it be just dating or married, and if that person was to step out or, you know, do something that you deemed disrespectful, that you didn't, you would not have an issue walking away. And you've always said that. So I don't really think that is where your, I guess, situation stem from per se. But I do think, like you said, sometimes just looking at it from an outside point of view, and then me personally, just like seeing all my friends, like at least one girl, well, not one girl, but like each person has had one experience where like a nigga did some fucked up ass shit and they will take them back, or, and it's just like, why is that though? And I guess I always try to like find a common thread, but like you said, it could be different reasons for everybody. You can't just generalize and, you know, try to put the same reasoning on every single person. Like, you don't know, some women, it may be for personal gain. Like, even like in the media, I think more wealthy women in these kind of situations, they may stick around just because the man is taking care of them, or, you know, they don't Absolutely. Have to worry about anything financially.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're gaining from it.
Or even some women, and so like we said, we're not going to generalize every woman, but there are women that also don't really think cheating in like the physical form is a deal breaker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like me. It's okay.
Yes, it's just, I don't know, it's different for everybody. So you really can't generalize, and you can't project, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I think there is something to be said about, why is it that Black women tend to be the most embarrassed publicly? Or, you know, like, why is it always us that have to deal with this traumatic ass shit from our own men? Like, I don't know.
It's crazy because Aziz is always the person in the friend group to be like, well, you could get somebody else or something like that. And it's like, you know, you could. And it's like, even in my situation, there have been times I have had situations with guys that I've just been talking to that be doing craziness like that. And I'll just be quick to be like, okay, goodbye. Like, on to the next one. But it's like, I don't know. I feel like once you find that one that you just like, you have a different level of love for, it's just a whole different mindset you have when it comes to that one person that's just like your go-to for stuff. It's just hard to be like, okay, well, forget you. But it's like, if you're in any other situation, sometimes you just, it's like, it's nothing but slight work for you. Goodbye. Like, keep pushing. So,
yeah. And I don't think that, like, the reason for this topic is not to say that, all Black women from now on, a man do one thing and you need to be out, period. Like, that's not what we're saying here. So, it's just more so like, why do we feel like even when we hit like something extremely, extremely, something that really, really hurts us, we still sit there and try to be like, well, you know, these are the type of things that happen in relationships.
Yeah.
And it's like, it doesn't have to.
So I really just want to touch on this real quick. Like, how dealing with this kind of stuff could really, like, leave a long-lasting effect on you. Like, almost like PTSD type shit. Because I know for me, like, now I'm in a relationship, right? And it's like the most healthiest shit I've ever seen in my life. But there's always something in the back of my head that's just like, what this nigga be doing? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm just paranoid. And I hate that because it's like, do other women of other races do that? Like, do they have to deal with that shit? I don't think so, personally, unless they've like been through it. But even if you haven't been through the trenches before, even us seeing that shit from our moms, our aunts, our friends, whatever, whatever, that shit is gonna be imprinted on your brain. Like, you just, that trust factor is, may not always be at 100%. Like, you may always just be at like a 95, or like, you know.
Yeah, it's hard not to be. Because, you know, there are times when you do get that one good one that's just like, you know they're not doing nothing, but you see what happens to other people. You see what other people are going through. You see how your friends are dealing with their situations. And it's like, you know, am I stupid? Like, is my man doing the same thing?
Exactly.
And your man could be sitting at home baking cookies. he at home making some cookies for you. And you like, I feel dumb. But it's like, you can't help but think that. You see how every other Black man is, and unfortunately it sucks because there are the few select good ones out there who are doing what they're supposed to do, but because of the media, because of what we see constantly, because of how much cheating you see on Instagram and Twitter and on TV and Tyler Perry movies and everything, you like, well, damn, what is my man doing? Like, it makes you start to question, well, I know he said he be baking, but is he baking for somebody else? Like, what's going on? So,
and this, well, this is like a few questions, but this is like the last part of it. Number one, who should be held accountable for this? So do you think that us as Black women should be held accountable in some way? Like, do we enable
our... Everybody need to be accountable for their own actions.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. I can't be accountable because he was missing something in his childhood and that caused him to be this way, because we all have things in our childhood that cause us to be who we are.
Mm-hmm.
But that don't necessarily mean we hurting everybody in our path.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Eventually, you have to accept that, okay, this happened in my past, and it did make me who I am, but I want to be better. And mm-hmm. so I'm going to make the effort to be better. So I hold the individual accountable.
Yeah. Do you, but like I said, do you think that there are Black women who enable this kind of behavior? And so
I think you enable if you accept bad shit without mm-hmm. even like trying to explain why it's bad. Because there are women out here that like shit happens to them and it's just like, okay, it's not even like forgiving. A conversation about why this is not right. It's like, mm-hmm. I'm just going to accept that. I'm good with it. I don't care.
Yeah. Forgive and keep it.
Blatant disrespect. Like, it's to the point where it's like, you don't even want to tell him how you feel about it. That, to me, is enabling.
So, okay, and what about, because this is another thing that me and you have talked about before. How do you think Black mothers, certain Black mothers, play a role in their sons' behaviors?
Ooh. Black mothers be going hard for their Black sons, child.
Ooh. Speak, girls.
They be going hard. They son can't do no wrong. As long as they son not doing what they daddy did, they don't care. Like,
their son could cheat and all, and the parents will still be like, well, hey, it happens to the best of them. Keep it pushing.
Hey, he's a man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, girl, I hate that excuse.
And they're definitely...
The mama's enabler. Letting multiple girls come in the house.
Not like, saying one word.
Just, hi. Hey.
And the mom be seeing all of them.
All of them.
And she don't care.
Last week? Oh, she cute.
Oh, it's like, when is a black mother ever going to say, well, son, this is not right? We don't never see that.
Rarely, if ever. And it's sad too, because it's like, that's like us. Like, when we have children, that's our responsibility, right? To like instill in our black sons, like, you need to respect women. Like, I don't really know where the disconnect was, because at the end of the day, these niggas respect their mom. I mean, of course, they respect their mothers, but when it comes to other women, it's crickets. I don't really know.
And it's crazy, because some of the moms have experienced exactly what the sons be doing. But as long as the son...
But their son is just a good person for whatever reason.
Yes, the son, as long as they're not bringing home no babies. Okay, see you later, boo. Like, it's nothing.
I don't know. So I guess we can close this off by talking about, how do you think that us in the black community could end this cycle? If possible.
I don't know. I guess the one thing from like just a female perspective is just, if you choose to be that woman who is like allowing it to, I wouldn't say allowing, but if you choose to be that one to kind of go through that struggle love type of situation, at least make sure you're addressing the wrongdoings of your significant other, rather than just saying, oh, okay. Like, if they say sorry, just be like, okay, it's fine. We can make it work. Let's just keep it moving. Because I'm a firm believer in making things work. But if we do not address everything that was done prior and what you have done, and you need to recognize what is wrong about it and why you should not do it again because I'm crazy, then we're not going nowhere. Because I'm the type of person, like, if I feel like I didn't get everything off my chest, and you didn't understand everything that was on my chest, then we're not moving on from nothing. We're going to sit there and have every discussion. And, you know, it might be a little bit annoying to deal with, but at the end of the day, just because you cheated and say sorry, you didn't fix nothing. Mm-hmm. You can say sorry and do it again tomorrow. I need to know that you're sorry. I need to know what we're doing to work towards a better, positive future.
And you understand what the issue is, what the problem is, what's wrong in it.
Yes, and how are you going to fix it? What type of trust are you going to have with me now? What are you doing to show that I can trust you? Are you sharing your location with me? Are you showing me your text messages? What's going on? Are you telling me when somebody's hitting you up that I should feel some type of way about, or letting me know what you're doing or where you're going? Because, like, you know, it's gotten to the point where my man's sharing his location. He gave me all his passwords and stuff. And given, I knew it anyway, but, I mean, if it made him feel better, he wanted to tell me, you know. But regardless, it's just like, now it's, you know, it hasn't been a long time since everything has happened, but I feel like a sense of peace when it comes to certain things he does now. Like, when he goes out with his friends, he'll FaceTime me. He's like, I told you I was going to the strip club. Here, I'm at the strip club, just so you could see what the person I said I was going to be with. I'm like, okay. You know, if he's leaving the strip club, he texts me, okay, I'm heading home soon, you know. And it's like, it's not stuff he should have to do, but if that's what's been making me feel more comfortable and just showing me that I can start to trust you again, eventually you're not even going to have to do that. Like, if you tell me you're going somewhere, I'm going to feel okay. But until I get to that point, the fact that you're even just telling me this stuff without me having to ask for it, just so you can build that sense of trust back up with me, is just, it builds a different level of respect. So when it comes to us as black women, we have to make sure that if we're going to be willing to forgive things like this or allow things like this to go on or happen, we need to be ensuring we're addressing everything that's happening, why it's happening, what you're doing to fix it, and making sure it's not going to happen again. Do you understand what's wrong with what you did? Do you understand why you shouldn't do that to somebody? And then, you know, we might reach a area where we can possibly just start to break the cycle. I'm not going to say it's fully broken because a man still shouldn't be doing that stuff. But at the end of the day, if we can at least show men that, like, hey, what you're doing is wrong. This is why. If you're not
willing and to be stern in that.
Yes. Then
set boundaries.
You got to put your foot all the way on their neck. And then some.
Period.
Yeah. And I think it also has to do a lot with internal work. Like, as a Black woman, you are not a therapist. Nobody, this is not your job, your born duty to be a nigga's therapist, be fix him, whatever the case may be. You, that's not your job at the end of the day. Like, you deserve to have romance, you deserve to have happiness, whatever it is that you want out of this relationship. Like, all that extra shit, that's not your duty in a relationship. So I think acknowledging that is a big thing. Not just Black men, but all of us, we all need somebody to talk to, whether it's a therapist or whatever. Like, you need to get that stuff out, and you shouldn't be burdening the person you're with all that shit, because it's draining as fuck. Like, you can't put that on somebody else. And I think that's a big thing in the Black community, especially with Black men. Like, they don't want to go talk to no therapist. Like, it's just,
I mean, like, what's therapy?
Therapy.
I ain't talking to no therapist. That's what they say. I'm gonna smoke
this blunt and call it
right. Drink this drink.
That's the therapy right there. No, it's not.
No. And that's their thing too. The Black men, when they do stuff that they shouldn't be, and when they're trying to like heal from things, it's never like they feel an urge or a sense of needing to apologize, but it's more so like, okay, I'm gonna drink to get over the female that I hurt. I know I miss her, but that's how I'm gonna heal myself. I'm gonna just drink and turn up with my friends and
never actually getting over it.
Yeah, and just fuck everybody, because that's what, another like big thing. They fail to address areas where they're damaged, and it's not just them, it's women too. We do that as well. We'll have all these different areas of damage, whether it stems from our mom, our dad, from our brother, from our uncle, from somebody that's just hurt us real bad, or even if it's just stuff from just like dealing with relationships or things from your personal life when you were younger, people bullying you and stuff. Like, we always have a hard time addressing those areas. We always want to feel like we just leveled up and everything's gonna be okay, but it's like, at the end of the day, are you really healing yourself, or are you just kind of throwing it under the rug until somebody hits that one little button and it just triggers everything, you go crazy? So it's like, how are we learning to address that stuff, and what are we doing to address it versus just trying to sweep everything under the rug? Because that's another bad habit Black women have. We just kind of keep it pushing, you know. Mm-hmm. It's okay, he hurt me, that person hurt me, my family member hurt me, I'm going to just keep it pushing, though. I'm going to be better. Mm-hmm. Like, but it's like, are you really okay? Or are you just trying to do that to show the world that you could do it? Like, it's never really healing you. It's what you're showing us as a facade. So.
Basically, we all need to heal first. Mm-hmm. Period.
Yala said it best.
Yes,
she said healing. Let me stop. Let me stop.
Some fix my life.
That's what I do when I when I'm looking for some healing.
Yeah. And not sexual healing, real healing.
Yeah, not sexual healing, real healing.
Oh my God. This was really, really good. Period. Let us know y'all thoughts on struggle love. If you're a Black woman, what's your experiences with it? Do you feel like you bear too much when it comes to Black men? If you're a Black man, please tell us your thoughts on this. Yes. Like, you would love to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't get up in our comments talking about we bashed y'all the whole
time. Yeah, and don't try to drag us, because come on now, it's facts. Sorry.
Yeah. Y'all be entanglements too.
Okay, so should we get into the listener questions, Aziza?
Yes.
Pull up the question. We got two questions. Tia,
you decided to be a therapist today, Tia.
Yes, you know.
Okay, so here's the question. Okay, listen up. My boyfriend's ex-girlfriend slash baby mom is constantly harassing me on social media and even showed up at my job once, pre-quarantine. She gets her friends to stalk my socials as well, and I'm pretty fed up with it. My man said he tried to talk to her, but she won't listen at all. What should I do?
She knew to address that hoe herself. And then I could be saying, oh, I talked to her, oh, I handled it. But if you can see your nigga's messages firsthand, did he really handle it? You got to read between the lines, sis. Like, men are, they have a bad habit of sometimes sweeping things under the rug, too. So their whole thing is, like, I know at least in my situation, my boyfriend thinks if you ignore, they just gonna go away. No, it don't work like that. You need to talk to them yourself. As soon as you show them that you crazy, too, they get the memo.
So give our listeners like a quick little like how would you start that conversation?
Okay,
what would be like the first two sentences?
Because bear in mind, this is his baby mama.
Yeah, I know. So like for instance, I'll use my situation as an example. So my boyfriend is crazy. He did some craziness to the baby mama, and so she at first, you know, she used to be on some crazy stuff with him, but not in correlation with me, but more so with the previous chick he was kind of just doing stuff with that he shouldn't have been. So she was showing up and all this stuff. But after like that situation, she's kind of had like a little bit of a, I don't know, she's just been kind of nervous about how the females that he be having around his daughter are. So she was kind of on my social media doing stuff like that. But I don't know, eventually, like, I had to meet her at some point, because it's like, I don't feel comfortable being around somebody's child and stuff unless I talk to them firsthand. And I don't know if she's had a conversation with the baby mama before, but sometimes if the baby mama can just kind of see that, hey, you know, I understand that you're hurt or whatever y'all situation is, but I'm just trying to, you know, talk to you woman to woman, letting you know that I'm in the picture now. Not on no disrespectful shit, but more so just like, kind of to just give her peace of mind. It's the more mature way to handle it. You just kind of reach out, you know, give her your little spiel, be like, hey, you know, I understand y'all had what y'all had. I'm not trying to sit here and, you know, rain on your parade or nothing, but I just want to let you know, like, woman to woman, that, you know, I don't have any problems with you. I understand that you might have been hurt by the situation. And, you know, I don't know what y'all deal was, but hey, just out of respect for me, can you just kind of like chill a little bit? And sometimes, you know, you might get that crazy one and be like, bitch, what's up? Like, pull up on me, blah, blah, blah. But then sometimes if you...
You gotta say ATL, ho.
Yeah, ATL, ho. But then you have the ones that were like, are willing to talk to you. So in my situation, like, she was not fucking with the girl that he was fucking with before. And that's just because it was disrespectful on a whole other level. But, you know, when I started being around his daughter more, I was like, you know, let me take it upon myself. Like, I know she's probably feeling some type of way, but let me just reach out just to see how she responds. So, you know, I just text her one day. I said, hey, do you mind if I call you? We end up chatting on the phone, blah, say, blah. Here we are today. We be texting like we friends. So, not that we're supposed to be best friends, but it's just like,
it should at the be end of the day, at least.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I'm with your child too. So, I don't want you having no beef with me, regardless of what y'all past was. I'm just worried about moving forward and seeing how we can mend this relationship because, you know, there's a child involved. It may not be my child, but your child is around me. So, I want you to feel comfortable just as well as I want you to be comfortable. I want to be comfortable. So, it's a hard pill to swallow if you got a crazy baby mama situation, but most of the time they're open to listen. So
step one, go talk to her yourself. Yes. And let her know.
Yes.
What the deal is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Step two.
If she wanna act crazy, you get buck with her too. Throw them hands. What's up? No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. But if she's not willing to accept it, then at the end of the day, it's like, you just gonna have to block her. Y'all gonna have to get some legal people involved. Cause that's
crazy. Yeah, she said she pulling up to the job. Yeah,
she pulling up to the job, girl. Sis, you gotta get a restraining order if it's crazy like that.
Yeah, she don't listen.
Cause it's like, and sometimes it's like, you know, you want these men still, but are you really willing to do all this craziness just to get?
Yes, him? That's something you should think about, girl. Especially if you find out, like, talk to her, and if you find out that your man wasn't actually trying to reason with her, like, he wasn't actually talking to her, that's something to think about, because he was probably just like, oh, like, I tried to talk to her, but just saying
it. Meanwhile, he ain't said shit.
Ain't said nothing.
He just kind of told her, leave my girl alone. That's all.
Yeah.
That's what they be saying, leave my girl alone. Okay.
And that's something when you have to, when you were the man that has a baby mom, like the way that he interacts with her in relation to you will really say a lot about how the future of your relationship will go. Yes,
because if you have his baby, then what? You next.
Mm-hmm. Yikes.
I hope he helped you, sweetie.
Yeah. That's
crazy. So the last question we have, it has to do with feminine hygiene. And this person wanted us in particular to talk about how some guys don't care about a woman's hygiene, but I wanted to broaden it because I just feel like there's always such a huge emphasis on like feminine hygiene, but like what about men's hygiene? Why don't we ever talk about that? As if niggas don't be stank too.
Yeah.
And they don't shower.
Oh my God.
And girl, when they do shower, they forget certain areas. We went to school with some people that actually let us know how they like operate.
Yeah.
That was first experience how men are.
Men definitely told me blatantly before that this is nobody I dealt with. They just told me this in conversation that they were unaware that they were supposed to open their butt cheeks and wash it there. They just thought the butt was the outside.
Please.
So, I don't know
because are you like, I just need y'all to understand the severity of the problem.
They said, that wait, statement. You be washing the inside, you be opening it?
Like, yes, sir, I do. I didn't know that was rare, but yes, I do.
But yeah, I think it's unfair that there's always this emphasis on like a woman needs to be fresh and she needs to be hairless, fully bald, all this, clean all the time, but niggas are nasty. Like
they don't, some of them don't manscape, okay? They just let that shit hang loose. It's very degrading.
It's very degrading to me, okay?
Have you, Tia, have you dealt with a man that not was dirty, but just had, like, an insane, like, you had to be a certain way at all times?
Yes. I used to have, like, my ex used to want me to go get my wax done, like, every month. Like consistently, because he was just like, I just don't like hair. And given I wanted to do it anyway, but it's just the fact that, like,
but it's when they tell you exactly, right.
Yeah, you telling me, like, what about your haircut? Go get your dirty ass haircut,
right?
How about you?
I feel like there should be some leveling there,
yeah, level, like, playing field.
You can't expect all, first of all, I'm totally down for it if you paying for all my waxes and shit. By all means, I will be going there all the time. But what about you? Like, I just think it's not fair because men just feel like, oh, I'm a man. Like, I don't have to. Well, some men, let me not say all, but some men, there are really men out there who feel like, oh, I'm a man. I'm supposed to have hair. I'm supposed to have this.
You can make that a little, you know, cleaner.
Keep it cute.
I like that. I like that statement.
Keep it cute. Wash in between the butt crack.
The open it up. We have to say this.
You want to open it up and wash in there. I've heard some some other stories about the men's genital area not smelling the best.
We gotta skip that.
I've heard stories, is what I'm gonna say. That's all. I'm gonna leave it at that. So I just feel like before men want to ridicule women, and of course, we as women know, like, we're always expected to smell good, be shaved, all this, be perfect. So you ain't got to tell us. Like, you really don't got to tell us.
Yeah, we should be telling. There are some women that don't care.
Yeah, some don't care. And I also think it's important to know there are some niggas who don't care about women's upkeep either. So, I don't know. I think it's to each his own, to her own. Whatever your preference is, you lecture whoever you're involved with, let them know your preference, and that's that.
Yeah. But as women, you know, let's just make sure that we, like, keep up with our own hygiene and make it a standard for these men to do the same.
Absolutely.
They've been getting away with being like this for so long because no one told them. We have to be the one to say something.
Absolutely. So yeah, that was the listener questions. If you guys want us to answer a question or you want us to talk about a certain topic, you can DM us. You can also click our link tree and send a question in anonymously.
I also just want to thank everyone who have submitted questions, who have followed us, who we do a lot of polls, and we see a lot of different answers, a lot of different insight. And it's really just great to see what our listeners are thinking and how they view different things, you know, relationships,
friendship,
quarantine,
all that. You know.
Yeah, we love the engagement. So thank you so much.
Love you guys. So song of the week.
Song of the week. Song of the week. Ay.
Period.
Tia.
Our guest. Yes, go first.
Period. Entanglements by August Alsina.
Ooh. Jesus Christ.
Ooh. I love it. He sounds so good on that song.
You like the drama. That's what you like.
The drama, the scandal.
Now, most people are going to be upset that you chose the song. So let them know why you chose the song.
I just love August Alsina. So I support whatever music.
Did you like his album?
See, I didn't finish listening just yet.
But I listened to half. I liked it.
I like the half I've listened to so far.
Yeah, I listened to half. Because it's like a 20-something song album, so.
Yeah.
You don't listen to that in one shot.
I don't support entanglements. I just like the song.
She had to let that be known.
Yeah. My song is Weak by Flo Milli. I really like Flo Milli. She just put out a project. I don't know if it's a mixtape or an album.
I feel like it's an EP. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
It's called Ho, Why Is You Here?
Period.
And real ones know where that's from. Okay, Love It Hip Hop. Josh said, Ho, why is you here? Why is you here?
Hey. No, you gotta say her accent.
I can't. We love an icon, Jocelyn Hernandez, okay? So, Weak by Flo Milli. First of all, we love Flo Milli. We love In the Party. We love the Beef remix, period. Like, she's that girl. So, y'all better go stream Flo Milli, her new EP, period.
Period. And after saying period, you know, we had the... I have to round it out with some City Girls. So my song of the week is definitely Pussy Talk. Okay. Yes, it's featuring Doja Cat.
We uncancel her. I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry. I can't. I'm sorry. I gotta listen to the song.
I'm sorry.
It's a real fun, upbeat song. It just gets you just hype, and Doja verse was amazing, and so yeah, they have a video, go check that out. But that's a great song. I'm telling you guys, y'all gonna be that have me in my as if I'm in the club, even though I'm in house quarantine, club quarantine. So
the video is cute too.
Very cute.
JT look popping. Carisha look popping.
Stream the City Girls album as well.
Yes.
It's so good. Like, so
good. It's so good. And we really want them to be successful, especially because somebody tried to leak the album. And
yeah, they tried it. You so, tried it, ho. That shit ain't
let's work. Do our best to support them. For sure. Yeah.
Always.
You can catch all of our Song of the Weeks on our playlist. We have one on Spotify. We have one on Apple Music.
Yes.
Okay. Search the Noir Girl Experience and you'll find our playlist. We keep that thing updated.
Mm-hmm.
Vibe out and think of us.
It should be. Yeah, it's in our link tree too, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you can just click the link tree. You can find the playlist. But it's time for us to close it. I really like this episode.
I love this episode.
Period.
Yes. Tia was such a great guest.
Y'all this know I was really happy good. To be on this show.
Period. This I'm was really good.
Played in my moment, you know.
So, like I said, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, for real, make sure you rate and review. Give us 5 stars, okay? Write us something nice. You can follow us on Instagram at The Noir Girl Experience. You can like our Facebook page, The Noir Girl Experience.
Our YouTube page. You can go subscribe.
Go subscribe. We have a little bit of video content up there. I'm going to post some more clips from our previous episodes. And what else? Oh, you can follow us on Twitter, I guess. It's Noir Girl EXP. Child, I don't be tweeting, but I'm going to try, okay? You can follow me, Zaria, on Instagram at Hey It's Poochie.
You can follow me, Aziza M. I'm on Instagram. And definitely don't forget, y'all know I always do this every episode. Follow my beauty page or Rouge Beauty. Okay, it's going to be in the description. Support Black business.
All that
good shit.
What else? I feel like I'm missing something. Oh, Tia don't want y'all motherfuckers to find her, okay?
Thank you.
She don't want to be found.
She don't want to be found, but we so happy she came on and she was honest. And she gave us some real great insight. And we hope y'all learned something today.
Washington.
Yes. Or got something from the episode.
Is that restraining order, sis? Is that
oh, order? My God. yeah, leave us.
Can we take a shot?
Jesus Christ. I'm going to have to pour it. Okay. I'm pouring the shot right now. But in the meantime, listeners, while y'all in.
Pour your shot as well, okay? Take a shot with us.
If you don't drink, take a shot of water. I don't know. But yeah.
H2O.
Should we note the fact that we have 1 episode left in the season?
Yes.
This is episode 17. So episode 18 will be our last episode of the season. And we're going to take a little break. Nothing too crazy. But we're going to plan. We have some really cool, exciting stuff planned for you guys. So make sure you follow us on Instagram at The Noir Girl Experience because we'll post most of our updates on there.
We have some very, very exciting things happening. We've been planning.
We're coming up with a year.
Yes. Very soon. Can you believe it?
No, I can't, actually.
I really can't believe it either.
Oh. It's almost been a year, so we're excited. We're planning for season 2. If you want to be on season 2, you better let us know now, okay?
I'm literally. Know today.
Okay?
Tia coming back.
Yeah, she coming back, period. So we're going to take our shot now. Cheers.
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 Yeah, I saw that cut.
Oh, okay. So like I said, we love you guys. Thank you so much for your continued support. Thank you, Tia, for blessing us with your presence tonight. This was amazing. And that's that, period.
As always, bye.
Bye.